Log Talk Radio.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.
Welcome to the On the Edge show. We had some mic problems getting started. Sorry about that. Wanted to thank Barry Mason, formerly of 98.7 Kiss FM Radio, for all that he has been doing. You can hear Barry do his thing on Saturdays from 7 to 10 p.m. and again on Sundays from 6 to 10 p.m. on iFallRadio.com. Thanking my team, Lady Diamond Elaine Yeves. We had the pleasure of hearing from her yesterday. She is slowly but surely making her way back to us and wishing her a speedy recovery. Want to thank Monster Miles, DJ Domek, Rodney Williams. He had just lost another person in his family, so we're sending out our condolences and our prayers to him. And last but not least, I want to thank Deacon Betty Williams for that awesome contribution on and off the air that he does and for his activism out in Toledo, Ohio. Thank you, Deacon, because you are priceless for the things that you do to us. Shouting out a couple of extra people today, Professor Carl Sloan Jones with the What About Us Project and the group. He has been helping us very much with his expertise, his research, as well as on and off the air. He helps us out with a lot of contributions, so thank you for that. I want to thank Salo Jenkins. He has also been an on and off the air contributor to our topics as well as our mission. And I want to say thank you to Sharad Piggy of the Hugh Funder .com Corporation. He has officially featured on the Edge show as a pledge project. He is trying to help us get funding so that we can get our corporation started, which consists of 5 sub-companies, which will be offering our community, our single mothers who need child care but can't just get in and out of traditional commutes, but need to provide for their families. We want to give our students in school some internships because they're coming out of school with a degree and nowhere to go. We want to give our veterans and our disabled people who are still able to work but just can't get around like the rest of us a chance to have some work from home positions. So we are doing some things, and we are looking for sponsors, and right now Hugh Funder is asking for pledges of any amount to get up to our goal. So I want to thank all of you that have been asking about it and looking into funding. Those of you that have already sponsored us to a point, you have been part of a very important mission, and we're trying to make that happen. And before all of that, I want to thank the Lord for us having another day of being here and for the beautiful weather that we are all coming into. So tonight, everybody, I'm going to put a real, let's just be nice and call him controversial, sir, person, on blast as we speak about tonight's topic. Today's topic is entitled, How Do You Solve a Black Problem? How do you solve a problem? Oh, I know, blame it on the black single mom. Okay, this is where we're at. And this is being inspired by Tommy Sotomayor. For those of you who don't know him, oh well, you will get to know him after you're done with this. But to those of you who do, I know a lot of you are banging your heads or chucking back that SAC when the name comes up. But this is a controversial radio host. He's an author of controversial literature, and he tends to always have some derogatory thing to say specifically about African-American women. And the thing that he has spoken about, he actually is sort of like a, hypocrite, because he is guilty of all the things he complains about having in our community. So tonight, what he said was, the reason why there are young men out there that are gay is because of the failures of a single black mother. The single black mom is destroying the young men. Now, That is what we're going to be discussing tonight, because what I'm going to be angling on is we have been constantly hammering problems with our African-American community, our stagnation, our internal hatred for each other, our, for lack of a better word, our ignorance of what it is that we need to do to empower ourselves and reunite as our ancestors did at one point and better ourselves. But to have someone who comes in, who's supposed to be a part of it, being the internal monkey wrench to sabotage any type of progress, and have supporters in the same realm following him to do such thing and spreading this awful, god-awful hate and nonsense. Meanwhile, he's guilty of having gone to jail for everything that he's spoken about, of being an abuser, of being a deadbeat father himself. All of these things coming up, these are the things that he's spitting out in an effort to so-called empower the community, quote, end quote. So we are going to go out with Cher Lloyd and T.I. I Wish. When we get back, we're going to get this party started, because I definitely have a few things to say to this man. So don't go away. After a word from Cher Lloyd and a word from our sponsors, we will be back to get this discussion started.
Hi. Make a wish, girl. You deserve it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, baby, I can let you go with, wish that I never did. Freaking perfect and 5'10", just wanna punch your lips. Yeah, cause I know I've been wasting time trying to catch your eye. Yeah, I know that I've been so blind, thinking that I'm your type. And now I'm at home, I'm all alone, about to pick up the telephone, got to call my genie so he knows. Yeah, I wish I was fast. I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag full of cash. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Can't you kiss me back? I wish I had style, I wish I had flash. Wish I woke up with a butt and a rack. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Can't you kiss me back? Yeah, baby, I'm gonna keep it. The one-on-one. I don't own any 5-inch heels. Just got my Nikes on. Yeah. Never thought I was insecure, but look how hard she done. I don't know what I studied for. Clearly I like them dumb. And now I'm at home, I'm all alone, about to pick up the telephone, got to call my genie so he knows. Yeah, I wish I was.
Baby, with the roof gone, baby, SMR look retarded like the crew gone crazy. I'm not sure what kind of fella you like, but I can give you paradise, heaven high ever you like. I'm talking solitaire, iced out, ring watch, necklace. Ain't no talking reckless, girl, I'm certified, respect it, girl. You like to run your mouth, well, you about to learn a lesson, girl. Yeah, you the one, but I replace you in a second, girl. And I ain't even trying to see you naked, girl, wait. There I go, exaggerate, clearly carried away. But what I'm saying, you can true that. I wanna be wherever you at, so you wishing you could kiss me. Do you really wanna do that? Make a wish, girl.
Yeah, I wish I was fine, I wish I was fast. Wish I could jump with a bag full of cash. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Yeah, I wish I had style, I wish I had flash. Wish I woke up with a butt and a rack. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Can't you see? I wish I was strong. Cause if I want you, I gotta have that. Can't you kiss me?
New York, New York. There's no place like it. You figure that out when you find yourself in a bit of trouble while vacationing or visiting in Florida. And Florida cops are sure as heck not like New York City cops. You're feeling more than put out or simply just confused with it all. But you want justice. You need it to be right, and you want someone who understands where you're coming from. You need Kenneth Foote, attorney at law. Graduate of St. John's University and Florida Stetson University, he'll make sure you're back on track and everything straightened away. Driving violations, personal injury, drug charges, he's here to work with you as well as for you. Leave nothing to chance. K.L. Foote, attorneys at law, 877-90-FOOTE or klfoote.com. Kenneth Foote, the New Yorker to contact in Florida.
The On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends, the show that gives you real talk about real issues, needs your help. Katie and the gang are seeking out individuals and local business sponsors to help fund their projects for youth and minority communities to become re-empowered, featuring programs like the Spread Your Wings Showcase, offering free advertising to up-and-coming entrepreneurs, Youth Day giving public school grades 4 to 12 a taste of the arts, and All Hands on Deck, our new writer's showcase. On the Edge is looking to give back to our communities by giving our youth a future. Your small contribution will make a difference. Individuals or small businesses can choose to be a sponsor for any amount of time. And businesses can also choose to advertise with us at very reasonable rates. Choose any type of show sponsorship, and you just may be a sponsor for a life. Visit us at Facebook at facebook.com On the Edge Show for more information on how you can be a part of our vision. We hope to see you there.
You're listening to On the Edge.
Welcome back, everybody, to the On the Edge Show with Katie Barnett and friends. I'm your host, Katie Barnett, and now the party will get started. Tommy Sotomayor, that controversial person who has been spewing garbage all over the Internet through a radio show that he has on the web, and he does it through YouTube as well, and he never seems to have any positive solution behind the garbage that he speaks. It's been, matter of fact, let me be fair to the man and say that a lot of the things that he brings up is indeed something to address, but however, his delivery and his presentation and the things that he spins in it sort of offsets the validity of his point. So now, here we are, we're speaking on something that is a big crisis in our world, mainly in the Black American communities. And one of the things is single parenthood. First of all, for there to be single parenthood, that's already an issue. Okay, then we got so many other things going on in society now. We have, you know, alternative lifestyles. We have our youth going into mutation. We have teachers who don't care anymore. We have cops that are shooting our young Black men. We're having all of these new things and mutated things that, while some of these peer pressure things are universal, a lot of the things they're facing are not. They're probably unheard of. And we have all of this to deal with. Now, pack that on and put that down to a single parent, a parent that's single, meaning that there's one person doing a job for two. And if you are a person that's involved in that tag team and you've abandoned ship from the moment that the ship started sailing from the port, then my suggestion is either you step up to the plate or shut the hell up. Because as many times as you have said, failure of a single mom, failure means something was tried and didn't work. At least a single parent tried. Now, for all of you women that are out there jumping up and down at what I'm saying right now, if you're failing by other reasons, by being your child's friend, by deliberately turning the other way or not giving a damn or doing whatever, don't pat yourself on the back, because although tonight is not about you, you're just as much on the hook for the failures of our youth as anyone else. But since tonight is about Mr. Sotomayor's stupid comments, let's put this out on the table. This man said that the problem of young gay men stems from the fact that Black women have failed, single Black mothers. Now, he did state that he wants to say he has no problem with this person's sexual orientation or their wants or need for sexual experimentation. However, with that being said, these boys are the reason why we need to stop claiming that Black children don't need their fathers. Okay, good point. We said that how many times in ways that didn't boil down to this? Until he said that this is on women, that black mothers often take credit for rearing noteworthy children, but they don't want to blame the absent fathers for the children when the children experience challenges. Well, you know what? You said two words right there before anything else, absent fathers. Now, a lot of you men that jumped on Sotomayor's bandwagon on my pre-broadcast discussion today tend to say that these black women do this, these baby mamas do that, these baby mamas push the men away. Nobody can push you away from your child if you really want it to be in your child's life. Nobody, unless they're standing there with a gun, a flaming torch, some sort of flaming arrow that'll blow you up should you step in that respect. There is no way in hell somebody can keep you from your child. No way. Courts are not for us. We understand that. But even with the courts trying to stop you, everybody who wants to be there will go around. And courts wouldn't be an issue if you had done your job in the first place. Regardless of what went wrong after the bedroom stuff went bad, that child is here. Regardless of whether or not you argued with the mother that you didn't want to have a baby and she went through with it anyway, the child is here. So all that excuses is null and void at this moment. For those of you men out there that are busting your butts to be a father, that are going through this nonsense, like dealing with vindictive women, who's using the child as a point, this doesn't apply to you. Kudos to you for doing what you have to do. But tonight's topic is not about that. It's about those deadbeat fathers that go quiet in the shadows when it comes to responsibility and quit to be in the cheerleading squad when idiots like Sotomayor come up and start making these dumbass comments. So for those of you that are overshadowed all the time by the 99% of garbage that you see on the front page all the time, my hat's off to you for trying to be good men and for trying to be good fathers and for being overpowered by garbage like this. Sotomayor brought up this situation because a video of a group of teenage boys rapping about oral sex with other men, I guess, struck a nerve with him, as would anybody else. First of all, not so much that they're teen gay boys, but because they're teens, period. That would be my first problem. Then you want to talk about that these boys are growing up with single black mothers and they're busy enabling things. Well, if you know this so much, why the hell aren't you taking care of your kids? And for those of you fathers out there that know you're deadbeats by choice, you're sitting up there cheerleading and doing all the, yay, that's right, he speaks the truth. The truth is only the truth for you because it helps absolve you of what you know you're doing wrong. Now, we're going to solve a problem. Let's come correct, and all accountability, it needs to be taken into our own hands. Now, if that's the case, and let's say that was the whole case, let's say that that's exactly what it is, that it was all about single parents, single moms. Where were you doing your 50%? Where were you men who have such a big problem with homosexuality, who's scared to death whenever a guy who's dressed in something a little too tight for what is considered manly comes near you, whenever a guy has a little bit of a feminine attitude according to what you guys think is less than macho? Where were you around your sons to make sure that didn't happen? And how dare you be the monkey wrench in the two-person team and then turn around and criticize the person you left the mess with because it's a mess. Now let's go to these mothers that they're speaking on at that point some validity. Those of you that are out there, it doesn't take a degree in genderism for you to understand what is a little too extreme for a little boy to be dealing with. It doesn't take a genius to know that you got to be a parent and not your child's friend in order to be a good parent or an effective parent. But at the same token, men and women, both of you need to understand that both of you are needed in a child's life. And if it takes one person, it takes a village to raise one child, and if that's in addition to the two parents that they were born to, one of you deliberately walking away already made the job too hard. So, panelists are lighting up. Let's get started. Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, Katie?
Yes? Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is Charles.
Oh, hi, Charles. How are you?
Well, I'm pretty good. You know, I'm calling you from Sky tonight, so I'm trying to learn a new program tonight.
Well, you're here, so you did well.
Okay. Now, I spent the afternoon doing some research, but it seems you beat me to it. I think you got the same story I found. And one thing that caught my attention, which I didn't hear yet, when I was looking at that story, the story that I found, it also quoted Sotomayor saying that the black, and this is a quote now from a newspaper, the black race looks like the 80s. You don't know who is what. The women look like men, and the men look like women. Now, he didn't go into details of his thought on failure, but I'm assuming the fact that a mother could be considered a failure because a son looks like a girl or a girl looks like a boy. So I'm not sure about what his definition of failure is.
I don't think he knows, Charles, to tell you the honest to God truth. I think that he's in this for the controversy. If these issues really troubled him the way that he's making it appear to be, he would be spinning a little bit more of solution with his nonsense. Okay? When I get upset, I spit out all the things that's wrong, and then I turn around and say, what is it that we can do now to make a difference? That is what you do when something truly troubles you on such a level that you really want to see change. This man is sponging attention through controversy, but through insultive controversy. And that's the dime a dozen. That's the type of attention you get a dime a dozen. Okay? Putting down your own people, putting down the very people that you're saying is in trouble. When you're in a position, because you have enough people listening to you, fuck however which way, this is when you sit there and you say, look, this is what I'm mad about. This is what shouldn't be happening. And even if you say it in such a way where it seems to be a little too crude, okay, well, you said it. Now what you're going to do about it? Considering the fact that this man is screaming the loudest, considering the fact that he has been in jail for battery against women, for leaving his own children, for child support situations, who the hell is he to have a criticism about where the failure came from?
Well, it kind of sounds strange to hear him make a complaint because the women are too boyish and the girl are, you know, so I'm not sure where he's coming from in that. But, you know, I did find something on a website called change.org. And, you know, you were talking about some of his problems. The website on change.org is reporting that his real name is Thomas Jerome Harris.
Absolutely.
He has been in jail for failure to pay child support, which means he owes $30,000 or more in back payments. He went to jail for violating a restraining order, bad tax fraud and lying and squatting. He also has a felony charge against him. And then the website is saying that this man says he wants black unity, but constantly tells men to have the right to walk away from parental duties and clearly hates women. So, I mean, those are really some serious charges against him.
Which puts him in no qualification whatsoever to have any damn criticism about what went wrong, considering he's one of the people who walked off of his 50% of a two-team project. That's my saying. There's other panelists coming in. Just give me a second, and I'll bring them in. We'll continue on. Welcome
Alrighty.
To the show, Corey. You're on the air.
Good evening, Lady Barnett, and God bless you and the rest of the folks out here on the panel. And God bless
Thank you
and
you
your families.
Thank you very much. You can hang on while I bring in our other panelists, and you will be next in queue.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Corey. You're on the air.
How you doing, Candy?
Hi, I need you to speak up a little bit, honey.
Let me take it off of, let me take it. I said, how you doing?
How are you? Who am I speaking with?
I'm speaking with Peter.
I'm sorry, honey?
Peter.
Hi, Peter. Hang on just a minute. I got one more panelist behind you.
Okay.
Welcome to the show, Cole. You're on the air.
Hey, Katie. This is Carlos Ellaby Jones or Stalo Jenkins.
All Hello, right, Stalo.
Hey,
All
how
right.
you doing? God bless everybody.
All right. Please.
I got you.
All right, Deacon, you're up.
Hey, who is this? Who is this character, man? And does he even matter? I mean, let me make this point. I was just about raised by my mother, because my mother and father separated because of some issues that they had, and it was kind of violent. So my mother practically raised me by myself. And let me tell him, if he happens to be listening, I am far from being gay. Let that be known. And my mother did a very, very good job raising five on her own. And my sisters and brothers are my sisters and brothers. I don't have a gay brother. I don't have a gay sister. And if he was mad enough to stand up and to do the things that he was supposed to do with his own children, he wouldn't even be making the comments that he's making. The comments that he's making is because he has some shortcomings on his own that he has to be dealing with it himself, and he has to take care of that.
Absolutely. He doesn't like the fact that his crap caught up with him. Now legally he's being penalized, and it's so much easier to not look in the mirror and accept the monster that you become from your actions than it is to make the person who you feel is to blame for it the problem. Okay,
right.
But you are sitting there. You know what? I've heard from ancestors for so long, so many different cliches that mean the same thing. Don't throw a stone if you live in a glass house. Don't point one finger because four point back at you. If you are living in a clear as day glass house, who the hell are you to be the first stone thrower? I don't get that.
Yeah, yeah. And there's another saying. You will always find people that want to talk about a splinter in somebody else's eye, and they have a 2x4 in theirs, and he's one of those. So, you know, he doesn't even matter. I mean, I'm not even upset about what he said, because he's not making sense to me anyway. So, I don't tend to let people like that get up under my skin, because it's some shortcomings that he's dealing with, and he has to take care of that himself. And just to let him know, I'll pray for him.
Well, just to bring up why this particular article was what brought up tonight's thing is because, on the whole, this is one of the other problems that we have. We have these people who represent us, in a sense, and they are out there in position where they speak to the masses on a daily basis, and their option to make change happen is them being the first ones to stand on the side of the people throwing things or stepping even further on our necks to keep us down. This is an idiot. He's speaking against black mothers. What the hell is he? So he must hate his mother as well. You know, his mother is black, and even if he comes from Panama or whatever the case is, looking at him, you see black. So to have all this oral hatred coming out of his mouth, this verbal garbage coming out of his mouth, this spreading of hatred and discrimination and all sorts of other things, talking about the one nation, because a woman is a nation. She's the one that birthed you, little sorry butts. To have you all grow up to play her sexually, to disrespect her, to degrade her, to use her for all sorts of things. You need her in order for you to exist. And then again, she wouldn't be a mother without there being a father. So you want to talk about single black mothers, but not talk about the problem that made them single in the first place.
Right.
Put up or shut up. That's the way I feel. Put up or shut up. Now, I want to go over to our next panelist, Peter. What do you feel about tonight's situation?
I don't entertain Tommy's garbage. I mean, first off, homosexuality, I believe people come out gay. That's just my opinion. I know some people think that people are outwardly influenced, you know, by being gay. I can say that. And a lot of the boys who I have seen raised by single mothers, I can say that a lot of them do come out having feminine tendencies, you know, in other words, you know, picking up on the mother's idiosyncrasies. If you have a man that's in the home, you know, you tend to try to emulate him, you try to walk like him, you try to talk like him. That's what kind of goes on. But that doesn't necessarily mean that the boy is gay. I just know some feminine men who are heterosexual. They just have, you know, feminine tendencies. That doesn't mean they're gay. But I don't I don't know. I think what's happening is people are they're engaging in a dumb argument because it is a dumb argument. You know, if we want to have a serious conversation about the fault of how, you know, we got, what is it, 80% of black children are born in the single parent homes, and, you know, we have this failing black community. I'm saying if we want to talk about, you know, the aspects of that, you know, why that's going on, you know, then I think that's something to discuss. But discussing whether or not boys really come out gay or not, I think is a waste of time, because I don't think anybody, even by the end of this show, is going to be able to deny or confirm whether growing up in a single-parent home is going to turn you into a homosexual. You know, I mean, that doesn't even make sense, because it's like, well, how are all these women still getting pregnant and ending up single mothers if all the 80% of the black boys that are born to single mothers should be gay? It should be a whole bunch of men sleeping with each other and no single mothers, you know, growing all the way out.
Okay, Peter, give me 1 second. There's a couple of things. One, I need all of my panelists that are on tonight. If it's not your turn to speak, mute the phone. There's too much background noise, and I don't want to take away from the other person speaking. Number one. Number two, Peter, I want to touch on something that you just said. Like you said, all of these, first of all, single mothers, that's a problem, and they can become single alone. But number two, there's also the controversy surrounding what causes homosexuality. You know, it's been rumored that it's a choice. It's been rumored that people are born that way. But this is the bottom line about parenting, period. Even in two-parent homes, imagine one is gay. Okay?
Wait, say that again. It cut out real quick.
I'm sorry, honey. Say that again.
No. Your mic cut out. I was trying to hear what you were saying. The last 2 seconds of it.
What I was saying is, Magic Johnson's son is gay. Okay, that's a two-parent home. That's a rich father. That's a
person know that.
Out there that's doing whatever. So who's to blame for that? What would you say for that? And if that's the case, then what do you say about girls that grew up to be lesbians that were raised by their father? You understand? So who's the failure? And that's the whole thing. My point for giving any credence to this idiot tonight is because there's so many like him that contribute to our struggle to get out from under. That's my problem. The problem is not him and his garbage, because he clearly is a person that has no life without controversy, bringing him instant attention. I got that. Because clearly you either got to be a really stupid person or just a real smart person to know without a doubt that you are publicly in the eyes of the newspaper for legal stuff, centers of stuff you talk against. That's going to come out. So either he knows the publicity stunt well, and he knows that people are still going to buy into it and he'll have what he needs, or he's just that dumb. Now, I doubt he's that dumb, so I believe he's using the stuff that obviously people should turn away from, but they can't turn away from, to use it to get where he wants to be. But in the process of doing that, to those people who are not so savvy to that type of publicity stunt, these young kids are listening. These mothers are being stomped on, regardless of what type of failure that their motherhood turned to be. Being a single mother is a hell of a damn job. You don't get the luxury like the absent parent does of saying to your child who's hungry, I can't feed you today because I just don't have it. You have to get your butt up there and find out which way to make it happen, period. That even goes to those semi-deadbeat people who will do a little something here and there, but will tell the person, well, I don't got it today, so I can't give it to you. Your job as a parent is to make it happen. Now, he's out there with a restraining order, with $30,000 in back child support, and he wants to turn around and say that the reason why these young men are becoming gay is because of single mothers and black mothers to top it off?
Is the restraining order from his baby mama?
I'm not sure, but it's from a woman that he beat up. It doesn't matter whether he had a child with her or not. The point is, he's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
He's a problem, okay?
He's part of the problem
he speaks against.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Regardless of the garbage that he's on, I mean, even he, I'm saying attacking him I don't think, well, like you were talking about, you know, coming up with solutions or resolutions to the problem, I don't think that's gonna do anything. I mean, it exposes him for a hypocrite, if anything, but it doesn't. It's not going to bring anything to light that anybody can do anything with.
Which is my point for bringing his stupid self up, because you know what? The thing is with him, what seems to be the problem with us as a whole society here, is this. We tend to bring up some very important issues that is brought in the right forum to be addressed and brought out, would bring awareness, would bring people to try to figure out what's next, or even to get people to know it's happening and never felt like they had a solution before. Now we can all talk from different angles and come to a conclusion. His problem is he's using it so that he can make a couple of clowns in their sofas that's listening to him crack up laughing rather than do something about it. And meanwhile, we're a big old horse and pony stage show for those on the outside laughing and looking to destroy us even further.
Let me ask you a question. Why do you, I'm saying, let's look at what the demographic is. Right, over the last 30 or 40 years or so, 70 to 80% of black men have been born to single mothers, and he obviously has a large black male audience. So, why do you think it is that black men, who majority of which were raised by single mothers, are pandering, patronizing, his what he has to say?
I don't think that the single dudes are. I think that's specific. I don't think that the men who were raised by single moms that raised them well are his supporters. I really don't think so. But I do believe that because he spun it around, and this is the deal, he brought up a situation about homosexuality. Most men already are like, yeah, that's right, those freaks or whatever. Most men are that way because the fear of the unknown or what could happen to them or that, I don't know, it's going to jump off and they're going to get contaminated by it or something. I don't know. My personal viewpoints on homosexuality is not part of this program tonight, but what I'm saying is that's the spin that he put. Then on top of that, he did the next best thing in some of these idiots' minds, which was bring down the black woman. Why? Because most of his supporters that support him on this particular thing are guilty of doing exactly what it is he claims women do. They're not taking care of their kids, and they hate the fact that a woman that had their kid is telling them that. They're looking for every little bit that they can. And like I said, to those of you men that are out there, that this does not apply to, don't step into the shoes because it's not for you. But to those of you that will be hooping and hollering on this panel tonight, I know you're wearing them. Because the loudest people that were on this pre-broadcast discussion tonight in support of this idiot will eventually wind up telling on themselves and post that they posted after. Okay, so this is the situation that I'm seeing. Usually anybody jumping up and down, just like him who started this nonsense, has something that they're trying to deflect from.
Now, you don't think that there's any valid points in it that I'm saying any valid grievances that men have or can have with this whole single mother epidemic?
Peter, absolutely, and I'm going to tell you that. I'm not a feminist by any means, okay? I'm going to explain this to you. There are plenty of problems with single mothers. Not so much that they're single mothers, but okay, check this out. First thing is this. We have a problem with trying to be, this generation has a problem with trying to be their kids' age. This generation has a problem of trying to overcompensate for what we feel we didn't have because our parents were poor or were strict with certain things. So we overindulge them in expensive gifts. We overindulge them in allowing them to, quote, unquote, chase that dream, which usually means singing career that's going to make them grow up too fast. We're busy buying our girls, two short mini skirts, letting them paint up their faces, and then dressing like them and going out. I've already done my time. I had you when I was young. It's time for me to party. All right? We have these women that are letting their men beat up on their girlfriends and bring them in the house and will stand by them in court mad at the woman they victimized. Enabling these idiots to believe that I can go around and mess up anybody I want and I got my mother while I have my back. We have plenty of mothers that walk around treating their sons like they're their girlfriends. And when these boys turn on them, then they want to know why. So believe me, I can see a lot. We have too many of these people trying to keep these boys boys when they're grown-ass men. I've seen
Crystal and Karazhan wrote an article not too long ago, and she's got a website called Beyond Black and White. And I'm not the biggest fan of her. You know, she advocates, you know, popping the fence, you know, IR dating, and you know, it's whatever, because I understand, you know, the overall condition of brothers, but I have other issues with some of the stuff that she says. But she wrote a piece where she was talking about stop birthing black boys because, you know, they grow up to hate you. And, you know, she was like, she said, you know, they hate the person that stayed. They hate you because, you know, you were the one that was there feeding them and clothing them. But then a little further down the article, she actually exposes what the real problem is, which is she says that the boys are unprepared. They're unprepared for the world that exists when they turn into men or you know, by age, not necessarily by skill or by, you know, character, but they become men. And they're thrust into a world where they actually have to engage and, you know, are supposed to compete with other races of men, and they're not prepared because they were raised by women.
Okay.
Oh, maybe true.
I'm not so sure if I agree with that point at all. I will say that Sotomayor had a valid point in this respect. A single mother raising boys, and I'm going to ask again my panelists to please, if you're shuffling around, put your phone on mute to respect the panel.
Yes.
Now, what I was doing is this. A single parent home is already considered a quote-unquote unideal or non-traditional way of being. Usually what we know to be tradition is two parents. Usually they're married. Usually they're all together. Okay, that's what ideal would be. So already there's a defect, or, you know, for lack of a better word. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But the defect happened from what? There should be no single black mothers for him to complain about if these babies' fathers are alive and well. If they weren't killed in a war and they weren't, they didn't die in a drive-by, or they're not buried 6 feet under or incapable of doing anything but based on some medical problem, there should be no reason that they are single mothers, whether they are romantically hitched up or not.
Can I ask you a question?
Go ahead.
What is the difference between a woman who has a baby by a man who is not in the proper proper position, either maturity-wise or financially, you know, to raise a family as a father, and a father who's absent? What's the difference?
And a father what? I'm sorry.
And a father who's absent. What's the difference between, like, okay, if a woman goes out here and she gets with a man and has a baby by a man who is ill-equipped to be a father, but she has a child nonetheless, and a woman who gets with a man who is also ill-equipped, but he just doesn't stick around or he isn't there, what's the difference?
I don't think there's a difference, but this is the situation. If one of them chose to, if the baby was chosen to stay with the parent, then there's no excuse for the parent behavior being bad. I'm not speaking circumstances. Okay, I'm not.
But there's no excuse for whose behavior to be bad?
For the parent that is with the child, that's raising the child, that chooses to be a parent. I don't see there being any excuses for you not growing the hell up and doing what you have to do. Now, even if that means that you have to give up the baby to someone that is a little better, whatever, that's still making you a good parent, if you know what I'm saying. You're giving the child the best that they can have if you know you can't. My thing is this, okay? Excuse me a sec. My thing is this. This man is walking around, and like I said, this is with all the other horrible things that go with today's parenting. Okay, speaking specifically from this man's point of view, his blame of it, gay homosexuality in young men being attributed solely to black mother's failure. That's what this man said, and that's where I'm going with tonight. Everything else we definitely have touched on with regards to parenting flaws being there. There's no excuse for anybody who chooses to have a baby and raise a child, okay, to not step up to the plate. Well, I'm not speaking about money being a problem, because unless you are the Jacksons, the Rockefellers, the Kardashians, there's going to be money problems raising one child. Okay? I'm not speaking about timing. I'm not speaking about lack of sleep, because that's going to come too. It's with the territory. I'm talking about the fact that if you are a mother, you can no longer go partying every weekend and leave your baby with every Tom, Dick, and Jane.
I understand that. My only point of contention is the expecting a man who's never demonstrated his ability to be a father, you know, and I'm saying that, you know, usually there's you know, measuring sticks, there's you know, gauges,
right,
measures you can determine whether a guy would make a decent father or not. But expecting a guy who clearly is not that, hasn't demonstrated that, to merely suddenly bust a 180 and reach a level of responsibility that he's never demonstrated simply because the girl got pregnant. And I find that a lot of women find themselves in trouble because they think that, in other words, what ends up happening is you end up with a situation where a woman thinks that she can get with any man and have a baby by any man and then slam him with the responsibility of you need to man up. Now, I believe he does need to man up, and he needs to live up to a degree of responsibility. However, it's like what – you see where the problem comes in with the discretion of, well, are you getting with a guy that's in the position established, or are you not getting with a guy? Because in that case, then we could all just sit here and say a woman can go and get with a homeless guy on the street and then expect him, you know, because, oh, I'm pregnant now, like he's going to go and enter Wall Street. And I'm like, that's not going to happen.
I believe that's the problem right there. I believe that if a woman gets pregnant and the guy was already one way and expecting that she's going to have the baby to change him, that's already a problem, because that's not why you would have a baby. You understand? I mean, if you're deciding to go with this. So I think that would be the problem. On the other hand, regardless of whether or not this person is ready, listen, I've seen plenty of fellas that will get up and say they're not ready for it and they'll run in fear. But they're not just deadbeat to the point of, I'm going to deny it altogether. Some of them really just are upset with their situation or afraid of the fear. And then they'll try to avoid the situation, but they're not heartless about it, if you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
I also want to address what you asked me before, because I think I understand where your angle is now. With regards to what's the difference between an ill-equipped mom and an absent father, let me explain this to you. An ill-equipped mom at least tried to do the job and failed at it.
No, ill-equipped father. Ill-equipped father.
No. What I mean is, you asked, is there a difference between it?
Okay.
And I'm going to switch it around, because this could be the same for a single father. At least if a single parent tried and failed, okay, at least they tried. At least they did something. At least they were there to say it went wrong. For a parent not to be there altogether, there's a big difference. That's telling the child that they weren't good enough, you didn't give a damn in the first place. I just don't care. I wanted to breathe, feed, and jet.
I get that part. I guess my issue is, like, I take the idea of having children very seriously. I don't think it's something that people should walk into and say, you know, oh, if I fail, oh, well, at least I was there. I think that a lot of men end up having an issue with the idea that, you know, if a single mother raises her son to go off to, you know, be a doctor or go to medical school, everybody will jump up and, you know, sing her high praises, and, you know, she'll say, I did it by myself. But if that same son underneath that same single-parent household fails and he ends up in jail, she gets to, you know, exalt herself and basically say, well, it's because his daddy wasn't there. But so in one minute there's praise, and then the next minute it's, well, I can blame the father because the son failed, but if he did well, she gets praise. You get what I'm saying? Like, there's a little bit of an inconsistency. There's a problem there.
I understand what you mean.
If you can take praise, you should be able to take criticism. That's all I'm saying.
Right, and I agree with that. I agree with that altogether. I completely do. I don't think anybody, I don't care if it's the race, the gender, I don't care. I think if you fail at something because you didn't put your all into it, or if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, then take accountability for what comes from it. On the other hand, to put a blanket statement on single and then single black mothers for homosexuality, which, A, like I said before, is something that some people say is a choice. Other people say that people were born with. Okay? Now, let's look at the word. Let's look at it from this perspective of it's a choice. All right?
Mm-hmm.
How many two-parent, strict and loving homes had children grow up to be adults and make choices that were totally against what they were taught growing older. How many
in terms of their sexuality, right?
In terms of anything, let's not even just put homosexuality on the table by itself. In terms of anything, Peter, how many times have you seen, I'm going to give you an example. Lawrence Fishburne, very well educated person, very much of a working actor, okay? He speaks nothing but empowerment. When he speaks, he's very, very classy, okay?
And his daughter went off and did pornography, right?
Exactly. His daughter grew up in pornography. Now, do you believe that Lawrence Fishburne is going back to whatever that
no,
is,
no.
Please.
Well, I don't believe that, but I'll say this. I'd have to say to you, be careful because when you put things in that context. Yeah.
Go ahead.
When you put things in that context, what you risk is equalizing single parent to two parent homes.
Yeah.
Hello.
Can
you hear me?
You're right. Yes, you can. Yes, you can hear me.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Even in two parent homes.
I can't understand anything that's being said.
That's not my phone. That's somebody else's phone.
Okay, yeah. And I don't know where it's coming from.
I can't understand what's being said right now.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
All
right.
Even in a two-parent home, a loving home, a two-job home, a parent that was involved with their children, when they grow up, they're going to make choices on their own, and that cannot be attributed to their parents. So if this, let's take a look at homosexuality from the theory that it's a choice. All right? What if that person grew up in a two-parent, loving, providing home, very active, very happy, close-knit family, and they grew up and they were gay? Would anybody say that it was the parents that did it?
No, but I'm saying with the whole gay thing I've thrown out. I'm saying go with the example that you went with Lawrence Fishburne's daughter. I'm saying, you know, if you look at most porn stars don't come from the type of lifestyle that Lawrence Fishburne was able to provide for his daughter. And I'm saying the problem with, I understand where you're going, but I'm saying the problem with trying to equalize single parenthood to two parent homes and saying, well, the kids can come out anyway, is then at that point, then that gives the men who want to slam the women, you know, evidence to jump up and sit there and say, well, see, look, you know, it's her fault because she was there. Because once you equalize the single parent home with the two parent home, then however the kids come out, if you want to say that it has anything to do with the parents themselves, then you're basically saying that, you know, a single mother, it's her fault, just the same as it would be two parents' fault. You get what I'm saying? That's why I don't equalize.
Sotomayor said that young gay men are gay because black mothers fail.
I know what he said,
right?
and to me that's complete garbage. That's total garbage. If he wanted to talk about, you know, the number of men who go to jail come from single parent homes, or the number of runaways come from single parent homes, or the number of teens who end up becoming teen parents themselves come from single homes. If he talked about that, I'm like, that's empirically supported, but that's not the blame. That's not necessary to just, you know, wholesale blame the mother. But, you know, in terms of homosexuality, like I said, nobody can deny nor confirm. So he's talking out of his ass in that by itself. So I get what you're saying. I'm just totally negating it because I don't think that homosexuality has anything whatsoever to do with whether you come out of a single parent home or a two parent home at all.
And what's more is that he put it down on single black mothers in particular. And you know what's funny? In his statement, he didn't say that young black males are the result of failing black mothers. He said young men and then said single black mothers. So this is the thing that gets me. So now Kim Kardashian's family got a whole heap of mess going on. Rich family, not black. I didn't hear anything coming from him on that one. All these other kids that are coming forth with sexual deviancies and all those other things. I didn't hear that coming from them. And everybody tends to blame any type of youth problem on single parenthood, be it black or white or whatever. Single parenthood is not the taboo that everybody tries to put it up. It depends on the parent, and even if the parent has their foot in this person's butt, has GPS on them, there's always going to be something that a child is going to run into that they won't share with their parents because of the fact that they know their parent wouldn't play that.
The problem with the whole single mother situation is a socioeconomic problem. It's not really the single mother per se, although at times it can be. But it's like, you know, if you have a whole neighborhood, you know, of single mothers and there's no male leadership at all in the community, there's no men, boys are not seeing men, you know, maintain the community or do certain things that men do, you know, as you know, responsible men should be doing. Those boys are going to grow up and they're not going to walk into any sort of, you know, opportunities, which is why I personally believe the boys end up failing. Going back to what the Crystal and Karazine said about the boys not being equipped. They're not equipped. No matter how much the mother loves the boy or hugs the boy or does, you know, buys him Jordans and everything else, when that boy turns 18, there's nothing for him to walk into. There's no economic opportunities that black women control that all these single mothers are going to be able to provide for their son so that he can go off and take care of his own family. That doesn't exist.
That's a good point. And on the other hand, we go back to several parenting discussions we've had here. The bottom line is this. Let's take all of that extra progressive steps out the way and talk about the basics. Before we can start talking about raising good men or raising good women, both aspects have to be there. I don't care how good a mother is in teaching her son what not to do as a man. She'll never be able to teach him how to be a man, and vice versa with the father to his daughter. And if both,
what does being a man mean to you? Like in terms of what, like what is it that the mothers can't teach the boys?
The mothers can't teach. There are certain things that no matter what a mother can sit there and think about or sketch pad or do whatever and come up with logically or based on common sense, there are still certain internal, intimate things that go strictly with men. There are ways that men think. First of all, one of the things that women tend to do, and I don't care how street tough we are, we tend to be a lot more nurturing, forgiving, and passive about a lot of things with our kids. Whereas a father's presence, with love, he could be a lot more firmer and take a lot less garbage. Okay? And that's just the way it goes. Now, you've got a lot of those mothers that have been as tough as a man and still play both roles, but still at the bottom line, a man does it better. A man does it better, no matter what. There's certain things that as much as we can understand it, we're grown ups, we're whatever, certain things boys need to speak with a man about. Certain things women will never understand, even if we're on the outside looking in and we can imagine it. Certain things are man to man.
Certain things are
man to man. Say that again.
No, I agree with you. I focus more on the tangible, more on what men actually do in a community or what men are supposed to be doing.
Right.
Somebody say something?
No, go ahead. It's just a lot of little echo static here.
Oh, no, I focus on you know, what men are, you know, the responsibilities of men within a given community. And I think that, you know, one of the big issues, and I believe that I called in the show before, and you and I kind of got into it about it a little bit, but the aspects of men taking on responsibilities, but from a leadership role, and I think that when that leadership is removed, and people come in with concepts of equality, when men get dumped on with the, you know, they're supposed to defend the community, they're supposed to maintain the community, they're supposed to, you know, like look at with Lupita Nyong'o. They're supposed to promote the beauty of black women, which means that they would have to have a media engine that they own, operate, and control in order to do that.
Absolutely.
So that the women have high self-esteem and feel good about themselves as beautiful young black women, right? I'm saying all these things men are supposed to do. And you know, when we get into the whole single mother conversation and single mother aspect, one of the things that I feel, cripple the conversation is the idea that
You know, the black community should be, you know, this, you know, more equal and not in the sense of like a lot of people try to put it, like when I say male leadership, they automatically go to black men abusing, black men rape and pillage, all this other stuff. And I'm like, well, black men ain't leading the damn thing right now, and all of that is still going on. You know what I'm saying? Like there's no structure, you know, to channel any of the things that the boys end up doing. So they're kind of like out here like a pirate ship. Like it's just, they're just all over the place. Like they're not valuing the women. They're not protecting the women because the men aren't passing anything on through the women. So the idea of sticking around, you know, because this is your legacy as a man, doesn't exist, which is what you see in other communities. So,
right.
So, you know, I try to convey that thought to women a lot of times, but a lot of times I get a lot of backlash because as soon as you say anything about there being any level of inequality or male leadership, I'm misogynistic and all this other stuff. But I'm like, all I'm saying is men are not going to take on the responsibilities that they should, you know, without having, you know, some sort of control or final say over what they're responsible for. That would be like me making you a CEO and then I'm the vice president, but yet I make all the decisions or I think I'm going to have equal amount of say as you in decisions, but yet you're the one at the end of the day that's ultimately held accountable and responsible. You're going to be like, well, bump that, I'm out. You know, you're going to be like, oh, this is a raw deal.
I understand where you're coming from, and I think a lot of the problems with that, which is another segment, happens to be is the way that we perceive what leadership and control really means. We're too busy trying to prove that we're independent and we can do what you do, and that's not where it's supposed to be. Because if you're in a relationship, it's a team, and there are things that one person should be able to do, even if the other one did have something to say. The final whatever is on the man, pretty much. That's the way I feel. You know, my mother always told me a smart woman knows how to let a guy think he's leading and she really is. You know, some things is about improvision. But getting back to this particular situation.
Can I jump into what you just said right there?
Fine, just so go ahead.
You said a smart woman, a smart, repeat what your mother said again.
Okay, it's my grandmother, but she used to say that a smart woman knows how to let a man think he's leading and she really is. And that's not saying that, you know, he's stupid or he's dumb. It's just that certain things, a lot of times guys need that little push to feel like they're the ones doing certain things, and it's not a problem for me.
Okay, but I'm saying, going back to what I'm just touching on what I was covering earlier, about women getting with men who are not in the position to handle those responsibilities. And I'm saying the first, if there is an issue of who wants to be in control, the best way for a woman to be in control is to get with a man who is not equipped, you know, because if he's not ahead of her, then there is no leadership to basically discuss. There's no program that she has to get with. There's nothing that she has to, you know, cooperate with. It's simply, you know, okay, good, I get to run things because, you know, he's not that bright or he's not that sharp.
That's the problem. And that also, matter of fact, that sort of ties in to where these children go wrong, not single parenthood, but the fact that everybody's too busy trying to use control in the wrong situation. First of all, in every two-parent household, especially mine, I didn't grow up with my father in the household, but for some reason, we knew when my father was called that there was going to be an issue, okay? So to that respect, there's a way for you to still be involved and still keep control and still be in the role that you're supposed to be in, despite what you and the mother or the father can get along with. I know a family right now. The mother and father can't stand in the same damn space with each other. But guess what? Both parents are equally involved, and both of them don't override the other one's authority, the other one's way of doing things. There are certain ways that a father handles his children, both male and female children, that differs from the way a mother does it. Usually a father hands down the discipline, he's stricter, he doesn't buy the sad sob story so much as a mom would. And even the strongest of mothers do it. okay? There's certain things that we will overlook or not really see right away that a man will catch on quicker with. There's certain things that a man will say in such a way that a child will have quicker adherence to while they'll give their mother 2 and 3 words extra of lip. They'll eventually do it, but they'll wait a little longer. So each person has to allow the other person to do their part.
Well, I'm saying going back to the boys and how the boys turn out, you know, all the garbage that Tommy's saying. And I'm saying, like, just scratch the homosexuality for a minute. Let's just go with the way the boys turn out and the boys go out here in the streets and they become thugs and the whole who's, you know, leading in the household and whatnot. I'm saying if you have a situation where you have, let's say the woman is the one who's the breadwinner, and I'm saying the man is, you know, there are situations where, you know, the woman's the breadwinner and the man can still be the disciplinarian. That's fine. But I think that the problem comes in when you have the situation where, because the woman is the breadwinner, when it comes to the responsibilities or when it comes to demonstrating, you know, a leadership and the responsibilities that come along with leadership, the man has the inability to do that because he's not the one that has the resources to go out there. If he says, son, we're going to open up a store and provide, you know, economic opportunities to other people in the community and provide goods and services to people in the community, he's got to ask, you know, his wife for the money so he can make that move. So at the end of the day, she's the one.
Yeah, we're going on a whole nother level right now, and I don't want to take away from the topic.
All right.
I will say this. The problem is with that. This man, woman, you know, Venus, Mars thing, that has to end when you have children. Okay, whether you are in Tahiti and the other one is in Germany, you have a child together. And each of you at some point has to put aside your individual garbage for the sake of your child. Okay? Let that child grow up as well-rounded as possible. Whether that person, like I said, how many people have men in the army? And they're still single parents by that well. The whole point is this. This man sat there and put down something that, A, it may be an illness, may be a natural-born defect, may be a natural-born difference, and maybe just a simple choice. And he blamed what he doesn't like about it on one of the biggest, hardest jobs to do, and then blamed it on his own people. As such, he didn't blame single mothers on a whole. He blamed the whole on single black mothers, all right? Coming from a black mother himself, being a black man himself, and being one of the parties who's guilty of the very things he complains about. He's one of the reasons why there are single mothers out there raising boys on their own. My thing is, if you don't want to do the part you were supposed to play in it and you caused the problem to be what it is, then shut the hell up with your criticism.
I agree with
that.
That's
my whole thing.
I'm 100% behind you on that. I'm 100% behind you on that. I'm just looking at the dynamic of the community. That's all. I just, if everybody thinks that
they're not.
To him.
But he's not. He's bandwagoning on the community because Lord knows he's definitely not going to be considered white by anybody, even if he's talking for them. So he's bandwagoning by belonging to us while he's
saying he's out the community. He's out the community anyway because he's dating outside. He's dating outside the race anyway. So
true too. But what I'm saying is for him to keep spewing that garbage while he's sitting up there coattailing and velcroing himself to a community he clearly hates because he can't fit in any place else, he doesn't have the right to be one of the problems and then cause a criticism about the problem. I need to go to our other panelists that's been waiting. Salo, what's your take, darling?
I just want God to help us first. This fool, I mean, he's a fool. Okay, first of all, and, you know, he's creating a cesspool that we got to back away from, okay? First of all, they are mostly good men, mostly good fathers, plus mostly good mothers, good as well, and the monkey wrench in it all is that we do live in a society where sexual exposure is reaching our children too early, first and foremost.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the numbers and what have you, if we were to really want to divulge into it, mostly there are people doing the good things. Mm. We see the bad things, okay? Now, this guy, and another thing, they're mostly heterosexual black men as well. Don't let this thing twist and fool anyone, you know, anyone who's listening or by the wayside catching wind of this. Because like my man said, who is this guy, first of all?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's attacking the black woman. That makes him an enemy to me. You know, he's sensationalizing. Not only is he attacking the black woman, he's sensationalizing the feminization of the black man. You know, and I was wondering if he was black at all. First and foremost, you know,
yeah,
he's exploiting us, okay? You know, he lies in the bag of filth himself. You know, like you said, he's a deadbeat father himself. He sucks. Who is he? You know, and as a woman abuser, in my rationale, he's probably a repressed homosexual. He's an enemy. You know, there's something wrong with him, period. And I, you know, we can't get caught up in it. He attacked a black woman, period. And I don't have nothing else to say about if he has a good point, a valid point or not. You know, who is he? You know, he's not a man to be acknowledged at all, but since we have to acknowledge him, you know, I'm upset. I'm upset because, you know, even I thought I read somewhere, and I'm not by a computer, but I thought I read somewhere where I thought a black woman had said that he was trying to help with his comment. And that vantage point and other vantage points that I'm hearing are so far removed from where we should be that they're almost, you know, it's like somebody should swoop in and drop some knowledge on that sister that thought that, you know. Somebody should do something because you're so far removed from where we should be. This guy is one of these media enemies, you know. You know, most even though I agree with a part of what the brother Peter has said, you know, it's still media sorcery. Somebody said, he said something about black men hating their mothers because they're not equipped. This society is crazy, all right, as far as its dynamic and its context towards black men anyway. Let's talk about that with some solutions rather than talk about if they hate, because hating a black woman, hating your mother is a detestable trait to have, okay? It's detestable. It's a false, disgusting stereotype, and it's new racist. It's BS, you know. I'm trying not to cuss. But the equal responsibility aspect is also a good point. But come on now. On all this negative, no solution, bashing on both sides, sounds like an agent, sounds like a so-called enemy to me.
Mm-hmm.
What is this point?
He was sitting there. He was definitely sitting there trying to holler loud from the mountains about situations that will keep people away from digging into him. So like I said, knowing that he's in the spotlight, knowing that he's a public figure, a good or a bad one, it doesn't matter, and knowing that as a public figure, everything about you is going to be exposed, clearly there's something to his madness. So that's number one, and there is a panelist waiting to come in. I see you there, caller. I'll bring you in just a sec. There's that. My problem is you have the nerve to talk about single motherhood as if it's a disease or an epidemic. Meanwhile,
right,
you're forgetting that if that's the way you view it, okay, you were the vaccine that put it out there. Because single mothers don't become mothers without a father, and, of course, they don't become single mothers unless the father bails.
Right.
So
Don't be a hypocrite.
Does anybody consider the fact that he's making a lot of money off of what he's doing? I've heard that he's making upwards of $300,000, I mean, since he started his YouTube channel plus the radio show.
And he's
and
doing it while
he's
romanticizing
ourselves.
He's romanticizing
ourselves. I would not be surprised if his backers are the people who paid him to be the troll that he is. Let me bring
exactly
in another panelist at this moment.
Listen,
welcome to the show,
the
calling
rumor.
You on the air.
How you doing, Katie and people? This is Patrick.
Hey, Patrick. How are you?
I'm okay.
All right.
Hey, Pat. How you doing, Deacon? On this Tommy thing, first off, I wanted to dig into who Tommy is. I mean, Tommy is somebody that trained under Rush Limbaugh. He's backed by Rush Limbaugh. He's backed by a number of other people that have traditionally spewed hatred and race, or hatred and race baiters for different types of situations. And that's the umbrella that Tommy falls under, and that's the stock he comes from. So we can
right.
recognize that and see it for what it is. He does make a lot of money just off his YouTube
video. All right, can we leave the commentary behind while he's speaking? I'm sorry, Patrick. Go ahead.
He makes a lot of money just off his YouTube videos as a YouTube partner. That program can be very lucrative when you achieve the amount of hits on your videos that he achieves on his. So we know that he's spewing filth, and we can easily find out why he's spewing the filth. The danger in the filth that he's spewing is his reach with it. I mean, if you go to a Tommy Sotomayor video and you scroll through the comments, you don't see, like, you do see a lot of teenage white boys and girls on there, but you see a lot of black women endorsing this. And you see a lot of black men endorsing this. And that's the part for me, that's where the damage comes in, because these people are, and he does give that aura where he always says, I'm trying to help you. But almost every video is an attack on black women.
Right.
And a lot of people say we should ignore it, but how do you ignore it when you have somebody that's reaching hundreds of thousands of young black minds every month with that type of poison? I mean, this
exactly.
man is easily reaching the millions every year, and there are only 45 million of us, so he's reaching a considerable percentage of us every year with that filth. And then you go into the numbers of it, only about 3 or 4% of the population is gay anyway. Only about 4% of black people are gay anyway. So is this really a issue that we, I mean, it's all purely spit out.
I think it plays on what people were already throwing out there, like the whole, like I agree with you, the whole 3 to 4%. But you know, think about all the years that were going around with how many black men were down low, and how many black women were getting AIDS from down low men. I mean, it was just all myth.
I think even into the era of what he's saying, I always say, especially when it comes to child rearing, I've said it for a while. I think I said it on the show before. Black men raise their sons and love their daughters. Black women raise their daughters and love their sons. That's the equality needed to produce a healthy offspring. They need to be raised, taught, given those life lessons, and kind of shown the rough side of life from that other parent, but they still have that other parent that's going to love, nurture them, and support them emotionally and give them all the caring. And if you think about daddy and his girl, and you think about mama and her boy, and you think about daddy and his son, and you think about mama and her daughter, there's that balance that's needed. So even if what he was saying, even if we were thinking about this on a logical level, we would say, well, naturally, the party that would have the most to do with a child becoming gay, if we're going to blame it on the parenting, and that's a big if, would be the father. That wouldn't be in the mother's realm unless you
can I play devil's advocate just a little bit. First off, you know I don't agree with the whole gay thing, but I'm saying just for argument's sake, I'm saying how do you blame the person who's not there more than the person who's there every day and has influence over the child?
Because
that man is the one that teaches him the way of being a man. A woman cannot do that. We are made to be feminine. We are made to be neutralizers. We are the ones
I disagree with that. You're not made to be feminine. Your feminine qualities are based on what black men established for you first. If we provide the environment for you to be feminine, you'll be feminine. But black men aren't doing that right now, so that's why
I'm not going by black men validating me or making me or not. I'm going by what the Creator, my Father up in heaven, that I believe in, made me to be. And that's what I'm saying.
So you're saying with black women living in the ghetto, not being provided for, not being taken care of, that because God preordained it, that you're going to come out sweet, soft, and feminine like the white girls that are provided for, catered to,
promoted, told that they're beautiful every day. I mean, because that's what you're basically saying.
I'm not trying to be argumentative.
I'm just saying.
We have to redefine what's feminine because what you just described doesn't sound like, I mean, you said sweet, soft, and.
Wait a minute, I got something different from that also.
One second, Deacon.
Okay, go ahead.
Patrick, finish your point.
No, I was just saying we have to redefine what we label as feminine because you can be feminine and still be hard, okay, just like you can be masculine and be soft.
Right.
You know, those types of labels are basically the personification of other character qualities that have really nothing to do with your energy or whether or not you're a man or a woman, but more to do with how you handle certain situations.
Yeah, but see, that's where you and I fundamentally disagree. Because I don't believe that manhood is a character trait or a specific state of mind. It's based on what men do. It's based on what we provide and what we establish. And femininity for women is the same thing. It's predicated off of what men do. You can't – high heels and skirts do not mix with trenches, you know, like World War II trenches. And I'm saying when you put women in that type of situation, you're not going to get, you know, women that are going to, you know, be soft and feminine and be in the state of mind to raise the children as they should. They can't – when black women can't do their job until we do our job first.
Patrick, let me just address that as a woman. Let me explain something to you, Peter. I have been through the ringer. I have been through literally a World War III of abuse, of beatdowns, of degradation by men in my life, by family around me. And I can tell you this. I could be hard as hell and tough as nails, and I'm the most feminine, soft person when it comes down to my man and my family. I'll tell you that right now. So I don't know what exactly feminine is in your mind, but like Patrick said, it's about how you handle things. It's about the way that you emit.
So I'm saying you're saying that none of those hardships have coarsened you in any way, shape, fashion, or form. You're saying that none of those things made you more resilient or more, you know, having to, you know, face challenges.
It makes you tougher to deal with stuff. It makes you more aware of schemes coming at you. It makes you able to survive. But it doesn't make you any less
I get you, but I'm saying but none irrelevant. Of those things, you shouldn't have been put in that situation in the first place. That's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying
that should have never happened to you,
period.
Your mother has been put in that position, which is where a lot of these men tend to come out their face the wrong way. You can't sit there and throw a stone at a single mother you created because she was forced to do 100% to a job with 25% supplies. You can't do that. Now, let me explain this to you. I am hard. I'm tough. But I'm not rough and tough and bitter to the point where I don't know how to give love and be soft and submit when I have to. And for those of you ladies that's walking around with this independent woman idea that the word submit makes you go nuts, get the hell over it, okay? Grow up.
I hear what you're saying. I think that the problem is it creates a lot of confusion, and it's part of the reason why you have people who take – and I'm saying, hear me out. You have people who take little bits of what the situation is, and they run with it. Like, you have young men out here who sit there and say, well, black women are strong, therefore I don't have to do shit for them. I don't have to do nothing. They can handle it. She can leap a building in a single bound. I don't have to do it because they're just inherently stronger. So I don't have to open up a door for her or cater to her or carry this or carry that because black women are the strongest women on the planet.
I'm just
letting you know that there are people out there who run with that idea. They run with it.
Absolutely. And as somebody who's possibly a little older than you, I'm going to tell you right now, that sheer ignorance that was left to be stagnant because nobody picked up the damn ball and showed this man, possibly a man as a matter of fact, showed this guy that regardless of what a woman says, you're supposed to be a gentleman. Regardless of what this person is doing, you be a man. You be the bigger person. You be a better person. That's where the hell men come in to speak. That's when men can tell a guy what manhood means, and it doesn't mean degrading a woman. It doesn't
mean
it's coming from a woman.
I agree 100% with you, but I'm saying chivalry is predicated on the foundations, the structure that men establish.
Chivalry is taught to a boy by a man, because only a man can let a boy understand that there's nothing wrong with your manhood for opening the door for a woman.
I agree with you. I'm just saying that you're not going to see chivalry when you have, and this is what I was trying to point out to Patrick.
Tommy Sotomayor walking around doing the
project. I agree with you with him talking that garbage, but I'm saying that the problem with look at who's failing. You know, I'm saying when you look at the whole conversation, the focus is black mothers and the boys turn out gay and the boys screw up and everything. His whole premise was not based on what's wrong with the girls or what's going on with the girls. And I'm not even saying anything's wrong with girls. I'm just saying the focus was on the boys. And I'm saying the boys are failing. And when you look at why the boys are failing, the boys are not failing because they have some character flaw or some personality deficiency or they don't have enough of Jesus. They're failing because there's nothing for them. There is no structure. There's no economic opportunities. There's nothing that allows them to be the men that black women say they need. They don't even have the means to do so. So if the men can't do that,
that's why. Their black male reps have jetted before them. Their black male reps have jetted before them. Women are
what's the word you're using? You said jetted?
Yeah, I said jetted, ran, booked, moved out. That's all my era. That's what
okay.
I said. They're gone. They sat there and they've had fun and they're gone because the people who used to be in place that had morals for families dropped the ball and kept it moving. And dumbasses.
No, but
we have dropped the ball. My generation is definitely guilty of it, and the one right before me. We definitely have. And then we got idiots like Tommy Sotomayor, who's in a position to command listeners and chooses to do it by getting his dime a dozen fill of crap, by doing it the fast way, the easy way. What's the best way to do it in the Guate with shock therapy that puts his own people down? Because that's exactly what the white people are looking for. For a horse and pony dog show person who'll carry the whip for them. And this is not coming up with any race conspiracies. This is just the way that it is. I do need to allow Deacon Williams to get his point in because time is winding down. Deacon, go ahead and continue what it is you wanted to say.
Okay. Basically, quite a few of you have hit the nail on the head on a few things that I was going to address. But, the last thing that you said is that the generation that we are supposed to be the caretakers over is where we dropped the ball. We are the elder statesmen now. And as we were coming up, when we were youngsters, we had people in our lives, male and female in our lives, that were there for us. There wasn't as much as single parents around back then than it is now, because today's society is outrageous.
I just want to get a ballpark.
Excuse me?
How old are you? I just want to.
I was born in the 50s.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now back then you had a lot more people involved in your lives. I know I did because I had when my father left, I had my uncles and then I had my god brothers and everything that was basically in the house. So there was always a male figure in my life. You know, so. But like I was saying, is today's society somewhere with us being the elder statesmen here in this society now, we dropped the ball. We're not nourishing the young people the way that we were nourished when we were coming up. And that's where we have to bend over and stop worrying about getting a dizzy spell or something. Bend over and pick that ball up, because today's society of children are losing. They're losing.
Do you think it's a moral issue or do you think it's a socioeconomic issue? Because I believe it to be a socioeconomic issue.
I think it's a combination of both, really.
Okay.
I honestly do. I think it's a combination of both.
I just don't see how you can have morality without the proper foundation. Just like what she was saying, what Kenny was saying, I don't see how black women can be feminine in a situation where they're not afforded the luxuries to be feminine. I Yeah, I get what you're saying. I just don't understand
it. Does that mean it's not an afforded luxury, sir? Because the afforded luxury is what rich people get when they can afford things that the average person can't pick up at a supermarket.
Right.
Femininity is a state of mind. It's a state of behavior. It's like people that say, you know, the way that you are, the way that we are supposed to live up to standards is when you go to charm school
let me
become a diva.
Let me ask you a question.
No.
Is security a state of mind?
Is security a state of mind? Yes, security is a state of mind. And understand something, though. Depending on how much of credence or power you give somebody in your life over you, that can be quickly compromised. But eventually, when you come out of whatever effects of insecurity that was imposed upon you by somebody else's standards, because try to think real hard about how insecurity comes about.
I'm not talking about insecurity. When I say security, I mean like your financial well-being. I mean you're having a roof over your head, having your things taken care of, feeling safe in a particular environment.
I think anybody would love for things to be that way, don't you think? I don't think everybody. I think everybody.
No, but I'm saying is that a state of mind?
No, financial security is obviously physical, right? But I guess how much credence you put into the importance of it is what it would be the state of mind. Some people are not so worried about IRAs and 401ks down the line if they're okay with living in the moment. Some people believe that, you know what, I have to save for the future, even though they might die before they ever get a chance to touch a penny of it. But I think that's a preference more than a state of mind. I think it's a preference. I think it's what people do for themselves.
I hear exactly what you're saying, but you're running dangerously close to men who I know will take that argument and run with it and basically say they don't have to provide a damn thing for black women because basically all
of
this
is a state
of mind.
Cover up what the hell they didn't want to do in the first place. All right, you have a baby,
that's,
you're responsible.
That's just a weak
cop
out.
You have a baby, you're responsible. Yes.
I know it's a weak cop out, but I'm just pointing out how it can get misconstrued.
I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the listeners that just heard what you said and may want to run with that argument. So let me explain this to you. You get into a situation that has a product of it, that there's a responsibility involved. You are 50% responsible for that role. You have a role to play. Now, whether you choose to play a role physically in the household as a fully involved person, that's on you. But either way, that's why child support laws come into place. Not that racial conspiracy garbage that everybody tries to spin on it when their asses got caught after skating for so long. But because once the court got involved, it's because obviously the child needed something the mother couldn't provide fully. So the court is like, wait a minute, if I've got to give all this money to this person, where's the father? Oh, bingo, he's getting to go skate, go club, and take the next girl down? I don't think so. If you don't want to be in their life to give them a mental state of stability, you're at least going to contribute to their financial bills. And then that's when all the deadbeats start going, oh, man, that's just wrong. The mothers, they get everything. That's not always the case.
I agree with that.
It's not about the woman.
May I?
I agree with that. My only thing is you can't squeeze blood from a turnip. I mean, you got women who try to take men to court. They're not even on the books because they got an illegal hustle.
You're absolutely right. Nobody said that anything didn't have a double edge on both sides. Everything comes with a 50-50 pro or con. Everything does. Okay, what I'm saying is what it was designed for, not what people do with it. I'm talking about what it was designed for. Why the hell the child support you got to get in your home in the first place is stupid in itself. To have a dumbass like Tommy Sotomayor getting up there as one of us talking for them is a problem. Because all it does is show that more and more people will want to jump on his bandwagon because it helps them have an excuse for doing stupid shit.
Mm-hmm. Forgive
the French.
Katie, may I, please?
Go ahead,
please. Caleb. I'm sorry, because this is out of control and all for everybody. Listen to the propaganda. Listen to the cesspool. Listen, this is what happens when you advocate evil, right? Don't romanticize our flaws and then pose plausible solutions. That's called exploitation. That's called sit down and exploit us. And when it's funny and when you put a funny spin on it, then it's called blaxploitation, and we already seen it before. Now, come on. We understand what's going on. Now, we ask some people to look deeper into this, okay? Because when we are receiving this media, we have to look deeper. Like I said, you can't further blame anyone else because it's weak. As for the sucker, weak, you know, the lowly men that are deadbeats, they're only relevant because that guy is one as well. But moving beyond that, when you bash on both sides, who are you and what side are you on? You're really, because at the end of the day, I believe that you should qualify whiteness or whatever you want to call it, whiteness, or I'm going to just say W-H-T-N-E-S-S, so to speak, right? I think it should be qualified by your deeds and your intentions rather than by your color of your skin, because there's a lot of people who are one color but act for another color, and this is what we have here. Now, are you W-H-T, are you black? Is what I'm asking. Because even though we use the internet media, for a progressive platform, we still have the world star hip-hop era, and it's going on right now. That's blaxploitation. These people on television fighting and going crazy, this is not the norm, but they're making it into the norm, and we're so entertained by it that we buying into it, and then we're arguing for it and advocating for it. It's not, we can't do it. Okay, that makes you an enemy. Okay.
I was going to say, I can guarantee you that if World Star Hip Hop is a corporation, if you look down on the deed, you might see Tommy Sotomayor as the CEO.
He's probably on it.
He's sitting at the head of the executive table.
Right. And don't you think if we had, you know, a truly traditional society, would parents even have to worry about sexuality in the way we have to do now? No, they wouldn't. If we truly lived in a traditional society, we were educating children correctly. So, and you know, all these hypotheticals that are being posed are devil's advocates. And that's what they advocate. This is false. Most of it is false. You know, most of it is BS and it's not even true. You know, most of us are doing the right thing. He's playing on the flaws and playing and romanticizing on the already racist mentalities of most of his listeners who are probably not black at all, okay? Don't bring the demographics as if that man shouldn't have listened to this man, because I have never listened to this man, heard this man in my life. I've heard of him, I think, you know. But I've never sat down and listened to him and had him as an icon or personality or thought his feedback was authoritative. I never thought he was an authority. I never thought he had a feasible solution, and I don't think he has one now. I don't even really know of the man, so I'm not part of that demographic. But I think most people that listen to him are white, most likely, and already have white mentalities that advocate on the side of white supremacy. Now, if I advocate on the side of white supremacy, right, you are qualified by your deed and your intention. Your intention is to keep your foot on the black man's neck or to gain profit off of keeping the foot on the black man's neck. Why is it that we're not giving equal attention right now to female homosexuality? Why is it that a long time ago, when we romanticized child rebellion in the 80s and all that, why is it that we allowed them to manipulate us into thinking child rebellion and to posing it as if it was normal, and then we let down censorship, and up comes all this debauchery we see on television all day and our children are watching.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It was a cesspool of media sorcery that we all fell into, okay?
No, it's not media sorcery. It's actual tangible media that's backed by money
and
economy.
No. That's tangible, absolutely tangible. Right.
I'm just saying you're using words like sorcery, and I'm saying the way that white people, I'm saying the way that they're using white supremacy is backed by tangibles. It's not a matter of sorcery. It's not a matter of a feeling. I'm saying they're actually doing things.
He's talking about the way it works.
The African American community.
Right. And the thing is, you know, I didn't wish to denote a sense of mysticism for you, but if I did, that's understandable. But because of the context in which we speak, and I don't even think that was even see that was another piece of cesspool, and that was another downward spiral. And I'm saying that to say that at the end of the day, this man is an enemy, and we know of him. Now, I know of him now. That's my introduction for him.
Yes.
Now,
I heard of his name. I watched the media group, the social media group talk about him, you know, in long posts. I never bothered to really get interested in listening until I went across this article in Google and saw underneath was a headline with this garbage. And I was like, this is what they have been talking about with Sotomayor, like everybody's hairs just raise up and they're, you know, their eyes roll and, you know, you could like literally through people's posts, see them like, you know, like just wanting to smack them in the face. So when I read this, I understood it, and it was like a shortened article compared to the things that he normally does. And I do want to interrupt you for 1 minute, Taylor, because I heard Patrick trying to say something. So go ahead, Patrick. What were you trying to say? Patrick.
Hello?
All right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh,
I forgot
initially what I was going to say, but I did want to piggyback a little bit at this point off of what Stalo said. And I was brought Tommy Sotomayor actually by a group of young black men, neither younger black men in high school. And that's what concerned me about it, because when I listened to a piece of one video, and this was maybe a year or two ago maybe, I listened to one video. And I said, so how often do y'all listen to this guy? And they were like, we listen to him all the time, Tommy the Truth. And that's really, for me, that was like, okay, this is the truth to young black men. This is the poison that they're getting. You know what I'm saying? So for me, that was kind of the, every time I hear Tommy Sotomayor's name, like Katie said, the hairs on my arm stand up, the hair on the back of my neck stand up. I feel a rush of anger. Like, if I could ever, I feel a lot of the time, like, if I could ever get my hands on him, it would be a not pretty situation.
Right. I'd probably be leaving the pack with you, mad as hell, because this is just garbage. How much more do they need to put there? How many more infiltrators does our race need? How many more things do they need to show us that we're down? And how much more are we going to allow them to do? How many bouncing Bettys do we have to run across our own backyard and blow up on before we realize we're not doing something?
How many of you guys are going to continue
to run around pretending that you don't know you're doing wrong by your child?
I don't know if it's complicated of him being an agent as much as it's him just making money.
Money, you're still being an agent. Like, the first agent that broke up the Marcus Garvey's organization, he was doing his job, but he was still being an agent. So, you know, you can make your money and still not be for the cause. Like,
I'll concede to that point.
You can. And with regards to what masculinity and femininity entails, there are people that have been through hell that should make them hardcore ruffians, but they wind up just using that as internal strength. And internal strength doesn't necessarily mean they want to go to war against their male counterpart.
Here's what I'm saying about the whole, like, because a lot of, like, what I'm saying is that men's manhood is based on what they do, and women's femininity is based on what men establish for women to be feminine. The sense that I'm getting is that you're saying that femininity is some intrinsic aspect, and when men try to equalize the intrinsic aspect of femininity and try to make a parallel or like a reciprocal fraction, to masculinity or manhood, what you end up with is you end up with men who basically say that, you know, I don't need to have these certain things in order to be a man. Now, the problem with saying that is when we get it, once we dive into, you know, establishing, maintaining a community, you know, having an army or having, you know, your own police force or things like that, all the, you know, having your own media, all these things that cost money, that's when it's like, well, if manhood is this intrinsic thing, well, then you got some pretty ineffective manhood because you can't go out here and do the things that you need to do as a man for your household or your wife or your community. You see, because I've already seen guys run with the idea of intrinsic manhood. I'm just a man because I exist.
Maybe one second. Go ahead. All right, you finished your point, Peter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Deacon, ask your question, and then I want to address you on that one a second. Go ahead, Deacon.
Well,
Deacon.
My goodness, I don't know where to go with this. As far as the femininity part on the woman's behalf, would you repeat that? As far as would you say a man has to provide for a woman for her to be feminine?
I'm saying manhood in my book is based on what men do. It's not based on, you know, you come out the womb and you have a penis. I mean, this is the problem where you have men who try to lead and they're not in a position to lead. They're just like, I lead because I have a penis, or I lead because God said so, but they're not in a position to lead. You get what I'm saying? And so when women try to say that femininity is intrinsic and it's not based on men establishing that for them, you know, the gym memberships, the makeup, the expensive clothes, the purses, all that other stuff, the media promotion, then there's a lot of black men who don't want to do what they need to do in the first place, they run with that. And then on top of that, they try to say that manhood is also intrinsic, where it's based on a feeling. It's not based on what they do. It's based on who they are intrinsically, because I'm a man since the day I was born. And I'm like, that's garbage. That's complete garbage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times, like, go ahead.
Okay, would you or not agree that when you come out of the womb, You're not just because you come out with a penis doesn't, like you said, it doesn't make you a man. You have to be instructed and guided on what it is and what it takes to be a man, and that comes from another man that has been taught that. And if you're
missing one element, which is you actually have to do what you claim that you're going to be put in place or what you're taught. If you don't put it in place, regardless of how much you're taught it, if you don't put it into action, it doesn't matter. You still got ineffective manhood. You see what I'm saying?
I understand that. But see, that's my point is, I'm saying, like, okay, say for myself, I raised two young men. Okay, one wind up going to the penitentiary. One is in college.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I provided for them from the day they were born.
Mm-hmm.
And I raised them to the best of my ability, gave them instructions on what it takes to be a man and what you have to do. You have to be a provider. And for a real man, if you want to eat, you got to work. You have to provide, not just for somebody else, but for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you can't do that, I mean, you don't even have a leg to stand on. So how can you get a person to be in a position of leadership? And then somebody that wants to call themselves a man that can't provide any of that, he's not even in the equation as far as being called a man.
Right.
To me, that's
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. But,
okay.
The thing is guys try to take the intrinsic aspect of, like, similar to what she's saying, and maybe she could clarify, but I'm saying similar to what she's saying about how femininity is a feeling, and I'm feminine because God, you know, said I'm feminine, and they try to take manhood and they run in the opposite direction.
Are you referring to behavior of femininity? Because, like I said before, I say this, okay? Maybe it's you have a physiological idea of what femininity is, because a person feeling that there's girls that if you want to bring it from the physical aspect, they're born girls, but they hate girl clothes. I have two tomboy daughters. They're not butches. They're not lesbian. They just don't like girly dresses. I had a little girl that hated dolls from the time she was a baby. She used to pull the heads off of them. Okay?
But I'm saying, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying, like, okay, you say you got two, what is it, tomboys? I'm saying you're not going to have – and it's not to attack them, but I'm saying, you know, in terms of what most men find appealing when it comes to women being feminine, they're not running around chasing tomboys. And I'm saying – I know of women who would argue against what you're saying because of the situation where, okay, let's bring white girls into the room. Do you honestly expect black women that act and behave as quote-unquote feminine in whatever this, you know, definition that I'm trying to articulate in the same manner without being provided?
I've got 7 minutes, and I really want to come back on this.
I just want to finish my point. I'm saying to behave in the same manner that white women behave when they're provided all those luxuries. In other words, it would be the same as saying that you expect black people who exist in poverty to behave the same way as white people who have every accessible resource that they need in order to behave the way that they've been behaving.
Absolutely. Let me cut you
one second,
gentlemen. Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. Because I work in a place where I see 60,000 pampered women from the white culture that come in acting as masculine as they come, with their girly purses and their nice little painted up nails and their Louis Vuittons and their Gucci's, and they walk in pampered as hell, and they are as masculine as they come. They drink like fish.
Okay. All right. I have to stand down at that point. I stand down.
Absolutely. I will say that. I say that a person is going to be who they are. And you know what? I beg to differ with guys not chasing tomboys. I think if they saw a girl that wants to sit there and can go love sports with them, okay, can play football and still know how to come home and take care of them, I think that he'd be good and probably feel like he had a complete package.
I stand down again. I stand down.
Well, I will say this to all of you. I think.
Right.
Hello.
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 She disappeared. Hello. I'm still here.
Yeah, it seems like we may have lost her for a minute, but this has been a very, very intriguing conversation this evening, and I think we've all got a few tidbits from this, and we've all learned something this evening. Because the old saying about you're too old to, a dog is too old to learn new tricks, I believe that's a lie. So because if you continue to live, you can always learn something. So this, like I said, this has been a very intriguing conversation this evening, and wow, it's really when I heard about this guy, it was like mind blowing to me.
Mm,
you know,
right.
Because it's like he's poisoning a lot of our young black men's minds, and it really intrigued me because, like the gentleman was saying, that he heard this from some high school kids, and I experienced it with these young men that I mentored to, and they mentioned his name. I'm like, man, don't believe that garbage.
Absolutely right. I'm back, everybody. To those of you that thank you, Deacon. To those of you that are jumping up and down, okay, and laughing and joking, when you could take 48 hours to do what a single mother has to do in 1 hour, and you could get it done, then start talking. But until tomorrow night, everybody, be blessed. Be a blessing. Make a difference. Thank you all for joining in. Patrick, thank you. Definitely say hello, you. Peter, thank you for calling back in because I do remember you. Anyway, everybody have a blessed night, okay? And
all right.
I'll see you all tomorrow at 10:30.
It's been a pleasure, everybody.
It has.
All right.
On the Edge, real talk about real issues.